Welcome back to the program. When we think of the French, we certainly think of wine, of fashion, of cheese, and maybe even a richer culture. But we don't immediately think about parenting. Yet children do seem to behave differently in France. As our guest, former Wall Street Journal reporter Pam Druckerman reports from the front, French women not only don't get fat, but they also don't have unruly children. Just maybe the two are related. Pamela Druckerman is a former staff reporter for the Wall Street Journal. She's also written for the New York Times, the Washington Post, and appeared on the Today Show and NPR's Morning Edition. It is my pleasure to have her here to talk about her new book, Bringing Up Baby, One American Mother Discovers the Wisdom of French Parenting. Pamela Druckerman, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me on the show, Jeff.
Great to have you here. This started out, you were in restaurants and you were in public places in France, in Paris, with your kids, and they were being unruly, as kids can be. And you started looking around and realizing, what's going on here? These French kids are better behaved.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, all French kids aren't perfectly behaved.
Right.
And, you know, I don't want to imitate everything that French parents do. I don't think it's all good, nor do I think what American parents do is bad. But I think we're at an interesting moment in American parenting where we're looking for our alternatives. We're dissatisfied with the way that we're parenting, and we're not even sure that it's good for our children. So I feel like France offers some kind of inspiration and wisdom and tips and pointers on how we can do things differently and how we can, you know, we parent in a way often that's the middle-class parenting style in America is very intensive. It requires a lot of participation and monitoring from the parents. And the French back off a little bit more. And I was scared to do that at first. But like you said, I was in this restaurant, and I noticed that French kids were not only better behaved, but they were also happy. You know, they were talking to their parents. They were interacting. They weren't being seen but not heard. They were really very engaged, and their parents were very, very much involved with the kids. They just weren't chasing after them all the time. And the kids were eating everything. And from there, I started to really think this is something I want to look into. This is something I want to research, both as a journalist and also as kind of a desperate mom.
The one thing that comes across powerfully beyond the specifics of parenting, and we'll talk about some of those, is the broader change in philosophy, the idea that the French seem to have a sort of an adult-centric view of bringing up children, as opposed to this American view, especially this middle-class American view, which is totally child-centric.
Yeah. I think the French idea is not that you focus entirely on the parents, but that that no one part of your life, not being a parent, not being a spouse, not being an employee, should overwhelm the other parts of your life, that you have to find some balance, and that it's not good for the kids if your whole life, you know, as a mother in particular, is focused on the child, that you have to give kids some space to develop a lives of their own, to be able to be independent, to cope with frustration, to cope with boredom, and not to sort of program them as much as we do. And I think this is something that American parents absolutely know. I think there's a new conventional wisdom emerging in America saying that, you know, we've gone too far, our kids are going to too many activities, and they need to be able to play by themselves. And I think that's something that French parents, you know, even if you look at the studies comparing American and French mothers, really value, you know, just teaching a child to play by himself.
It's also this sense of the child having to fit into the parents' world and not the other way around.
Exactly. I mean, I think it's a compromise, but, you know, I think French parents recognize that there's a temptation to sort of be at the child's immediate beck and call constantly. But they, you know, certainly their lives radically change when they have kids. But again, it's, you know, they don't think it would be good for a child to expect instant gratification all the time. They think it would actually make the child quite miserable and whiny and mm-hmm. tantrumy. And that knowing how to wait, you know, having that waiting is a skill, and it's a basic life skill, and that they as parents would be remiss, really, if they didn't teach their children this skill, kind of gradually and gently and with a lot of love and with a lot of patience, mm-hmm. but they feel like they have to transmit this ability to their kids. And it's interesting because in this realm, as in many French realms, what French parents do by kind of tradition or intuition or culture is what American scientists and the latest research in America is recommending.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying you have to teach your children how to wait. You know, you have to teach your children that being patient isn't just an inbred characteristic. It's something that if you give your child a chance, he can actually learn. But you have to give him the chance, and that's what the experts I interviewed for my book told me.
Right. I mean,
so I kept saying when I was reading this American research, that's amazing, because that's what they're already doing in France.
Right. That the French model, the French way, is much more in line with this kind of scientific ideal that we're just learning about.
In so many different realms. I mean, that one French, what's really powerful and fundamental French idea is that babies are people. That they are born rational, and that they can, that you can teach them things. You know, even pre-verbal kids, you can teach them. They understand what you're saying to them. You know, you can teach them. Well, we can talk later about, you know, how to sleep and not to pull all the books off the bookshelf, which my daughter, you know, I just assumed my daughter had to do, or not to make a mess in a shop. You can tell them no, and they can assimilate that. And that's another area where the latest research, if you look at books like The Philosophical Baby and other studies that are coming out, they figured out how to test what babies know and what they understand, and it turns out they understand quite a lot. They can make moral judgments. They can even do kind of rudimentary math if you give them the chance. And I think French parents, you know, at the same time they have a lot of authority, they try to balance this with a lot of understanding of the baby and the child being a person, and finding this balance between really listening to kids but not feeling like they have to do everything the kids say.
Well, you explained it in the context of a frame, that in fact, within a very specific framework, there's arguably a lot more freedom for the kids, but it's just more clearly defined.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I had trouble figuring out what French parents were doing, because every time I asked one about their parenting style, they would always say, I'm extremely strict. Even like the most anarchistic left-wing friend hippie parents would say, I'm extremely strict. But it turns out that what they meant was that they're extremely strict about a few key areas. And they're actually quite, by my American standards, quite permissive about the rest. And the idea of the frame is that, you know, you have a very firm frame of limits, but in the middle of that frame, in that square in the middle, you give the kids total freedom, total liberty, you know, as many choices as you can. And one example of this, like, kind of all happening at once is bedtime in France, which French parents tend to be really, you know, they just don't do those two-hour negotiated bedtimes. But what they'll say to their kids is, you have to stay in your room, but inside your room, you can do whatever you want. And I think kids really, you know, not everybody gets this balance right of kind of freedom and strictness. But when you do, when I have with my kids, they really respond to it. I mean, I think what the French parenting model has told me, and this is another area that really resonates with the latest research, is kids don't get self-esteem from praise, from just being told all the time that they're doing a good job. They get self-esteem from accomplishment, from doing things on their own. And I think French parents give their kids a lot of chances to do things on their own and to feel good about themselves. I mean, to the point where, you know, as an American, it can seem kind of extreme. They have, you know, first graders will go on 4 or 5 day school trips with their teachers alone. That's pretty normal here.
Mm-hmm.
Or summer, like 1 week summer camps from 5 or 6 years old. Sleepaway summer camps. It sometimes feels like more autonomy than I as a parent can handle, but I think the kids are fine with it.
One of the key values, or some of the key values that you talk about, really have to do with this sense of politeness, this sense of how they interact with adults in terms of saying hello, goodbye, and just respect.
Yeah, I mean, when I mentioned that there are certain things that French parents are really strict about, I mean, everyone has their own key areas that they're strict about, but one thing I heard over and over from French parents was respect for others and politeness, and I kind of eventually learned that, you know, while we have these two magic words in English, please and thank you, the French have four magic words. They also have hello and goodbye, and hello is the most important one. I mean, I've seen French parents kind of go nuts to make sure their kids say hello when they walk into my house, to the point where I'm like, calm down, it's okay, he doesn't have to say hello to me. But they think that this is really critical for the child. It's not just politeness. It's critical for the child's development as a as an emotional being, that the child has to realize that there are other people in the world and to be sort of liberated from his selfish bubble. And just the act of greeting an adult means that, you know, he's a person and I'm a person and we have a relationship and he has to behave in a certain way. I think a lot of things kind of flow from there, that he doesn't get to just shirk it, come into my house under the umbrella of his parents' greeting and have this kind of shadowy presence where he never actually speaks to me. I've started, you know, insisting that my kids do this too, and I get it. You know, I get why that matters. But there really is much more of a focus on, especially in the early years, on emotional intelligence and in these moments like saying hello, recognizing other people, learning how to work in a group, learning how to, you know, to not interrupt, for example, which is tied into the same thing. I mean, French parents will say when a child interrupts, as they inevitably will do, you know, if it's not an emergency, sweetie, I'm in the middle of a conversation. I'll be with you in a moment. You know, I know that was another thing that, you know, that made me think French parenting was worth looking into, because, you know, my American friends were always having to rush off the telephone because their kids were needing something. I've got to go. My kid's crying. I've got to go. Whereas with my French friends, that just never happened. If the child interrupted, they would say, you know, I'll be with you very politely, very gently. I'll be with you in a moment, but I'm on the phone with someone. Look, there's somebody else there. There's another person who needs something, too.
And this starts, as you talk about, when they're very young, even when they're crying as babies, this sense of not responding right away, of beginning to teach patience early on what you call the pause.
Yeah, I mean, this is yet another area where, you know, what the French do to get their kids to sleep through the night so early isn't some, you know, mind-blowingly new technique from outer space. It's actually something that I had read in American parenting books among, you know, dozens of other sleep solutions. And the French kind of wisdom, I think, is honing in on and sticking with the few key things that really do work. And that's definitely the case with the pause. And what French parents do is when even a baby who's a few weeks old cries at night, they don't immediately run in and pick the child up. They watch and they wait. And they believe, I mean, just because they believe the baby is rational, they believe he can learn things. And one of the things they think he can learn is how to sleep. And they think if you give the child a chance, eventually he will learn to connect his two-hour sleep cycles, which is what we as adults do. We have longer sleep cycles, but we connect them. And once he can do that, he can sleep 4 hours and then 6 hours. So they just want to give him a chance to learn. And they kind of stick with this until the baby eventually does. And obviously, if the baby, this isn't crying it out. If the baby keeps crying, they pick him up, they give him what he needs. But they're convinced. I mean, there is this conviction that if you stick with this, eventually, you know, this is a skill that your child is going to learn.
There's a lot less co-sleeping arrangements, as you talk about.
I mean, I think the reason co-sleeping hasn't caught on in France, there are a lot of reasons, but one of them is, you know, you don't want to put a baby between you and your husband. I mean, this idea that you could sort of sacrifice the marital bed for and have the child in the marital bed just really doesn't fly in France. I mean, the assumption is that after the first hectic few months, you're going to resume your romantic life. And in fact, the French state pays for women to have, it's called perineal reeducation. It's basically getting the birth canal back into its pre-baby shape, which is partly for health reasons, but partly so that you can continue having a sexual relationship.
One of the other things that you talk about is that this whole attitude really starts even with pregnancy, that there's just a greater sense of calm surrounding it.
Yeah, I think in America we you show your concern for, at least, you know, I think this is shifting a bit too, but, you know, I felt that I showed my concern for my unborn child and my transformation into, you know, into a mother by worrying, by, you know, having kind of control of the details, by really focusing on what I ate. And, you know, I remember I started a special pregnancy diet that was recommended by, you know, the best-selling pregnancy book. And in France, I think there's more of a sense that, you know, you keep your identity as a woman and that you show your commitment to being a mother by being calm, by showing how calm you are, by showing that your life continues, that your romantic life continues. You know, French pregnancy books talk about the relationship, you know, the relationship with the husband much more than American pregnancy books do, and mm-hmm. you know how that can be put at risk by a baby. I was the person in the restaurant in Paris, say, you know, asking the waiter, is this Parmesan cheese pasteurized? the waiters would say, what's the big problem? And the other women were like, what's the big problem? I think they're not as focused on, you know, every possible worst case scenario. Whereas I felt as a responsible mother, I kind of had to be. And mm-hmm. I think that sets the tone for the relationship you're going to have with the baby and how much worrying you're going to feel obliged to do as the child, you know, once the child is born.
One of the other remarkable differences has to do with this whole idea of what kids will eat, what they'll taste, what they'll try.
Yeah, I mean, that really was striking to me that you don't really have kids' foods in France. I mean, I've never met a French kid who was allowed to just eat, you know, pasta or just eat macaroni and cheese, or, you know, I write in my book about this one baby in Boston who would only eat foil-wrapped Santa Clauses, chocolate Santa Clauses, because I guess he started eating solid foods around Christmas time. But, you know, that just, you know, French kids eat the same foods that their parents eat. I mean, of course, you put a piece of broccoli in front of a French kid and a pizza, and he's going to pick the pizza every time. The parents just wouldn't give kids that choice. And French parents achieve this outcome, in part by making kids taste food. I mean, that what they say to their kids is, you don't have to eat it all, you just have to taste it. Or, you know, in my house sometimes we say, you just have to smell it if it's a completely unfamiliar food. And the idea is that, you know, people don't have inherent that kids don't like certain foods because they're unfamiliar. So you make the foods more and more familiar. And this is another one of these principles. Yeah, I'd read that. You know, I thought if I propose broccoli 5 or 6 times, my kid still doesn't like it. He just doesn't like broccoli. He's just not a person who likes broccoli. Whereas the French idea is, you know, almost all tastes are acquired tastes. And your job as a parent is to educate your child in the pleasure of tasting lots of different foods and being able to appreciate lots of different flavors. Eat a variety of different foods is one of life's great joys, and you wouldn't want to deprive your child of that.
And part of it, though, is making the experience pleasurable, that it is just about trying it, even if it's for the 20th time, and not kind of force-feeding it, as we see sometimes.
Exactly. I'm making this sound much more militaristic than it is. I mean, what French parents say is they try to make mealtime fun. For little kids, they try to keep it short. They very much try to get kids involved in cooking and shopping for food if possible, and they talk endlessly about, I mean, adults do this among each other too, they talk endlessly about the food, you know, about describing the different flavors, comparing which ones they like better, and, you know, tasting. You know, one parenting book said, you know, get 4 different kinds of apples and then talk about how the flavor of each piece of apple is different with your kid. You know, teaching them to think of food as a kind of adventure. And not as a, you know, not thinking of vegetables as kind of obligatory vitamin delivery systems.
Right.
So it's a nice, you know, if you can pull it off, it's a very nice approach. And the other thing that makes the French kids eat all different kinds of foods is that French kids really don't snack except for once a day. There's this kind of national snack time around 4:30 p.m. called the goûter. So that means that when kids sit down, French kids sit down to eat lunch or dinner, they are actually hungry. And so they're more likely to eat what's put in front of them. And then what French parents do, this is another thing that we've been able to implement, is they serve a vegetable dish first. They serve an appetizer course of just vegetables. So kids are hungry when they sit down, and what's put in front of them is hopefully a well-prepared vegetable dish, and they eat that first, and then you move on to the main course. Because I think if you put down the pasta next to the vegetable, they're going to go for the pasta. So they're sort of strategic about timing the meal in such a way that the kids are going to have to taste lots of different foods.
One of the things that you emphasize is that it's less about the French picking any kind of parenting style, but it's about the lack of parenting style, the sort of naturalism of it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's natural or cultural. I mean, French parenting is evolving, too. You know, it's different than it was 20 years ago. It's going to be different 20 years from now. But what I really found in France is that, you know, this is part of why pregnancy is calmer, is people don't feel that, here don't feel that they have to pick a parenting style, that they have to choose a book that they're going to follow, or everyone kind of more or less agrees on the basics. There aren't mommy wars here. They just take a lot for granted. You know, that's why they were slightly surprised that I wanted to write a book about what they were doing. They kept saying, I'm not doing anything special. I'm just doing what everybody else does. But what they do, it really is different from what, and what they consider to be normal is very different from what a lot of the kind of middle-class American mm-hmm. norms are. And just again and again, I was struck by that what they consider to be just the natural way of doing things is exactly what the latest American and scientific research recommends that parents do in a lot of different realms. Like, it validated the French approach to see even the American scientists saying this is what this is the best practice.
What do they do with the difficult child, the obstreperous child, the one that doesn't fit into this equation?
You know, I think that's a real weakness of the French system, and especially of the school system, that kids who have learning difficulties, who don't fit, that who are not in the mainstream, have a much harder time, especially in schools. There's much less accommodation to kids with difficulties. It's not an area that I really focus on in my book, because mm-hmm. I also don't look that much at the school system in my book. I focus on what parents do. But I would say, if I was looking at, you know, what some of the weaknesses of the French approach are, I'd say it works really well for a child who is kind of in the norm, in the average, but there's less kind of specific attention that I've been told, especially by friends who have kids with learning disabilities and other issues, that that the schools are not really set up for that. Mm-hmm. Nor are they set up for kids who are super, super smart. You know, there aren't sort of, you know, when we say gifted, that a child is gifted, we usually mean that the child comes from a wealthy home and has gotten all these kind of early advantages. But when the French say gifted, they really mean like a savant, a real kind of like prodigy, mm-hmm. and they think they don't really know how to handle those kids either.
How do they look at Americans' parenting style?
The phrase that the French parents I know who lived in America, they say they can't believe how much American kids are allowed to get away with, that they go in, that they eat whenever they want, that they don't respect the authority of their parents nearly to the extent, you know, one French mom put her child in an American preschool, and she said she heard kids in the preschool saying to their teachers, you are not the boss of me. And she said that would just never happen in France. That would never, ever happen. So I think there's a lot less ambivalence about being the one in charge. You know, American parents would say to me, you know, I think there should be limits, but sometimes I feel more guilty getting angry than I actually feel angry. You know, we're afraid we're going to damage our kids, that by saying no to them, we're going to limit their creativity, we're going to limit their free expression. You know, what if they're, you know, that we want to create the next Bill Gates, and we want to give them the space to sort of grow and thrive. And the French idea is, like, you absolutely want to give your kid the space to blossom, but you do that, again, within a certain structure, that you have to do that, that you have to have both freedom but also limits, and you can't have one without the other.
Pamela Druckerman, her book is Bringing Up Bebe, One American Mother Discovers the Wisdom of French Parenting. Pamela, I thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. It was really a pleasure.
Thank you.